Would you please join me in prayer? Gracious, loving God, we give you thanks for this and all the days that you so graciously bestow upon us. We pray that you'd give us not only a spirit of gratitude, but of understanding that each moment is a gift from you, that you endow each minute, each day, each month, each year, with opportunities to know that we are loved and to share your love with others. Lord, take now this moment of preaching then and use it as you will to center us in love, to empower us to love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Long before Rockefeller Center and Times Square became the epicenter of all the holiday festivities in New York City, people still found opportunities during this time of year to get together, to celebrate, and sometimes to overindulge. And that's the center of a story that intersects the Methodist history, the history of Methodism in and around New York. It happened on John Street, where there used to be a small theater down the street just off of Broadway. And it happened during this time of year that some soldiers, this is the time of the American Revolution, some British soldiers were, let's say, being a little bit festive after a night at the theater. And it happened that one of their own, one of the soldiers, had a starring role in the play that was performed at the theater that night. The play was called The Devil in the West Indies. And that soldier was still in his costume, which happened to be a traditional devil costume. He had the horns and the wings and the pointed tail. And as the show came to an end, and I suppose he met his friends at the stage door or whatever happened that night, they came up with a very brilliant idea. You see, just down the street, about a block away, the Methodists were gathered in their little chapel on John Street, singing and praying. And we don't know who it was, but one of those soldiers said to the guy in the devil costume, "You know what would be really funny? If the devil showed up in the middle of that Methodist service tonight." And here's how that story is recorded in the history books. In 1777, the church on John Street was actually a place of confrontation in the midst of religious services during the December holidays. A group of drunken British army officers dressed in costumes as actors in a play, The Devil to Pay in the West Indies, interrupted the services. A colonel in the role of the devil with red horns and a long tail approached the altar while his fellow actors vandalized the doors and windows of the chapel. Following this ugly incident, British General Howe provided the Methodists with a military guard during all their services. Little bit of Methodist trivia there for you. The British Army actually guarded the Methodist chapel during the Revolutionary War, defending the church from other British soldiers. It's a bit ironic, isn't it? But I love to think about the scene in the chapel that night. You know, we've got a people who are steeped in religious fervor, their prayers, their songs, and all of a sudden from the back door, here comes the devil himself approaching the altar. Great excitement undoubtedly filled the room. And obviously there's no photographs from the 1770s, but the famous picture of the night, you have people chasing the guy through the church with clubs and swinging all kinds of things. It's a scene of general madness as they chase the devil out of the church. Well, what literally happened with a drunken British soldier was actually what the Methodists were all about that night. You see, it probably was a New Year's Eve. Maybe it was Christmas Eve, but it was probably a New Year's Eve when that took place. And it's almost absolutely guaranteed that the service that they interrupted, that the soldiers interrupted in their devil costumes, was a watch night service or a covenant service in the Methodist tradition. So not only were the people coming together that night to sing and to pray and to hear God's word proclaimed, but they were acutely aware that they needed to open themselves up to what God was doing in their life and what God was making possible. See, the watch night predated New Year's Eve. Actually, in the earliest days of Methodism, it wasn't even connected to New Year's Eve at all. They might have several of these watch night services throughout the year, always around this theme of letting go of what you needed to let go of, what God needed to help you let go of, and taking hold of and embracing what was new and what was life-giving. And you can see how that theme works very well with New Year's, right? The calendar's turning. We're going to let go of some stuff. We're going to embrace some new things as well. So while they were literally chasing the devil out of the church that night, they were also opening themselves to the ways in which the little devils and demons that bedeviled them throughout the year needed to be let go of. They needed to be set free from them. They needed to find new things, more loving things, more life-giving practices to embrace. In your bulletin today, you'll find that I've printed the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer, which again was probably something that the people were getting ready to pray that very night when the soldiers came into their ranks. I do think this is one of the most important and centering prayers in our Methodist tradition. Because of that, actually, interestingly enough, we're not going to pray it together today. I think it's one of those things where you need time to sit with it. I would, as we look at this, I would hate to just say, all right, stand up and say these words. They deserve more respect than that, right? There's a depth to these. We're going to revisit this in a couple of weeks, though, after I give you a little bit of time, and we're going to work together in getting ready for our own little covenant service here. But for today, just listen to these words, and I hope you'll take this with you and maybe make it your own prayer tonight or tomorrow. I'm no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what you wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. They're powerful and potent words. They're words of surrender. They're words that are appropriate for New Year's Eve because if you're trying to carry a whole lot of baggage with you into the new year, you can't really square it with praying a prayer like this, can you? This is a prayer of release, of letting go of a lot of stuff. This is a prayer that says, these things that I've been trying to carry through life on my own, with my own strength, I just can't do it anymore. I need grace. I need God's power. I need Jesus in my life to help me do these things, to show me the things that I can let go of, to help me understand what I need to take hold of, to let me see the hand of God reaching out to me, to pull me along, to encourage me, to give me strength. So I hope you'll take these words. I hope you'll pray them as you see fit over the next day or so. But as I was reflecting on the story of the devil coming to the Methodists on John Street, it reminded me of another story, somewhat similar, but actually 180 degrees different, for my own ministry. It was the Sunday after 9/11. 2001, September 2001. And if you were in a church that day, you'll remember, I think across the board, across traditions, across styles, there was a heaviness to worship that day. We had been through things that week prior that most of us had never contemplated seeing before, right? As the towers fell and as we contemplated what was going on in our lives and in our world and in this area. It happened that day at the church I was serving in Putnam Valley, New York, that there was a baptism of a little baby. So we were kind of contemplating or thinking about and open to this juxtaposition of what we had seen and experienced that week. And here was this little baby coming into this world. and we were going to baptize this baby and talk about grace and love. So we were already open to what it means to be a people of faith in the midst of adversity, and a people of hope and love in a world that can be so violent and harsh. And in the middle of the service, a sparrow flew in to the chapel. And there was a moment of, oh, how beautiful. But very quickly, that beauty turned to terror, because the sparrow, of course, realized he didn't want to be in the middle of a church building that day. And he wanted to get out, but he didn't know how to get out. So this little sparrow starts darting across the sanctuary, slamming into windows and walls, falling to the ground, getting back up. And as people start seeing this, there was this, no one said anything, but there was this visceral feeling in the room that this bird was not going to die on our watch. We had seen so much suffering that we were going to do something. Literally, people start running to the windows. They had screams in them. They weren't like the stained glass windows we have here. There were screens. People tore the screens out of the window. They had the old cranks on them. So people are cranking these windows as hard as they can to get them to open. And the bird was always one step ahead of us, right? Flying around, flying around, flying around. And there was this gasp in the rooms. People were just terrified of the scene playing out in front of them. And then finally, the bird got to one of the open windows and was gone, was free, was out of harm's way. The story from the history books is one of interruption and of people rallying to chase something out, to get something out of their lives, of their midst. And that's undeniably something that's on our minds at this time of year. There are things to be left behind, attitudes and practices and just the past, to let it go. Let it stay in 2023 and to move on. But that story of the sparrow in the chapel also speaks to something on our minds this day. The desire that God has placed within us to be free. The desire that God has placed within us to escape the confines of that which restricts us and harms us, and to be our true and best selves. Undeniably, that's part of what we are about at this cusp of the new year as well. So yes, there's some things we need to leave behind, but there's also some hope and some beauty and some life that we need to embrace, that we need to enjoy, that we need, for which we need to give thanks. So, on this New Year's Eve, I invite you to make the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer your own today. I invite you to consider the things that, with God's help, need to stay in 2023. And I invite you to open yourselves to the grace, to the gifts, to the possibility of what freedom in Jesus Christ might mean and could mean to you and to this church in 2024. And as we do that, as we make this prayer our own, we will indeed come to a deeper understanding of what it means to give thanks. Thanks always for Jesus and his good news. Amen and amen.